I want us to think about in the Bible class this morning about being in Christ. It's a very simple lesson that maybe you've considered before, but I want us to think about the significance, the importance, the benefit, the blessings of being in Christ. I counted at least 77 verses that the New Testament mentions that uses the phrase in Christ. And so there's 77 verses that talk about that. And so it's significant for us to think about all the things. And we're not going to talk about 77 in the class this morning, just a few of them. But all the many blessings that are afforded to us in Christ Jesus. When the Bible talks about being in Christ, or when you think about being in something, what does that necessarily imply? If I can be in the building, what can a person be? You can be out of it. If you can be in Christ, then a person can be out of Christ. And I tell you, that being a Christian has to do with location. Our walk on this earth, on our earthly pilgrimage, has to do with location. We are either in Christ, of course not physically in location, you know that, or out of Christ, a relationship. And so we need to think about our condition. And but if I'm in Christ, and I want us to think about all the many things that the Bible talks about relative to that. And if you want a little handout, then I'll put those in the back. On purpose, I didn't hand them out before class. But if you want those, they'll be in the back, and you can have them. But the first one that I want you to think about in our Bible class is a phrase that is found in 1 Corinthians, or a thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and then verse 17.
2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Or, maybe first.
You said 1 Corinthians. Yes. Down 2.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate that. Yeah, 2 Corinthians. I appreciate that. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Someone read that nice and loud for us.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old things have become new.
Now, don't say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Or King James Version uses creature or creation, depending on the version they use. But notice that if we are in Christ, the Bible says that we are a new creature. Well, a lot of points could be made about being a new creature in Christ. When you think about being a new creature, it means that we're no longer the old person that we used to be. We're no longer the old man that we used to be. The problem happens sometimes is that individuals forget that point. They forget what person they used to be and the fact that they're a new person now. You see, and so they try to still be the old person that they used to be. Well, we've got to crucify the lust of the flesh. We're a new creature in Christ. In the book of Colossians, I'm not going to write all these up here, but Colossians chapter 3. Notice, if you will, verse 1 beginning. Colossians chapter 3. If I give you a wrong reference, you don't hesitate to let me know that, like Rose did. I appreciate that.
Well, it's just because you say it.
That's right. I appreciate it. Colossians chapter 3, that's important for us to all be at the same place. Colossians chapter 3, and then verse 1. If ye then... Now, Paul is writing to who in the book of Colossians?
Christians.
He's writing to Christian people. And from Romans all the way through Jude, these are epistles or letters of Christian living. He's writing to God's people. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, the American Standard Version, New King James Version says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now watch this. Here's the reason. Here's why. For you are dead. Now is he talking about we've died physically? No. He's writing to living people. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with me in glory. Mortify, which not all versions use that word, but it simply means what?
Put to death.
Put to death. Think about mortality is something dying. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he lists on fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which he also walked sometime. That's much like 1 Corinthians 6 when he talks about, he lists all those things and then he says, and such were some of you. This is similar to that. He says, in the time, or in the which, ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now, and that's doing what? When he says, but now, what's he doing?
Making a contrast.
He's saying, it's what you used to do, but you're not doing that now. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new. He goes on to talk about it. So, if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. We're a new creature. We're not like we used to be. And we've got to be separate from the ways of the world. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And someone... read, if you will, verse 14 through the end of the chapter, 14 through 18, 2 Corinthians 6.
Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what's unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty.
Notice that contrast again that's made in verse 16. He talks about what agreement had the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. And he just talked about these, the Belial, and what part hath he that with an infidel, and what is that infidel? What is that? Someone who doesn't believe. And so it's a contrast between those who believe, and they don't just merely mean, oh yeah, I believe you. That's an obedient faith. It stands for someone who is faithful, a child of God. And so then he says in verse 17, wherefore come ye out and be separate, saith the Lord. And so don't yoke yourself with those who are not Christian. Be careful about your association. I understand we have to work with individuals and so forth, but be careful about that. Number two, I want us to think about Ephesians chapter 1 and then verse 7. We think about being in Christ. Ephesians 1, 7.
In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace.
In Him we have what?
Redemption.
What does the idea of redemption mean?
Buying back.
Buying back. Where does he say that is located?
In Christ.
And so we should think about redemption, or the forgiveness of sins we'll talk about in just a moment. But redemption is in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24.
Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
No. Again, Janet, where is that redemption at?
In Christ Jesus.
It's in Christ Jesus. Now, again, what did He redeem us? What were we purchased with? Yeah, by His blood.
With His blood?
With His blood. Next chapter 20, verse 28. Paul was at Miletus, and he called for the elders of the Church of Christ from Ephesus and began to talk with them and gave them some warning. What did he say, verse 28? Take heed, therefore,
to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, shepherds of the Church of God, which He purchased with His own blood.
Yeah. And when he talks about take heed unto yourselves, that is to who? The elders. And to the flock. And the flock is in reference to the church, the members. And he purchased the church with what? Which it purchased with his own blood. Similar statements over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 18. It's very, very simple things. I tell you, important for us to think about being in Christ and the many blessings that are in Christ. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with, verse 19, read that, whoever would like.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Yeah. We're redeemed by silver and gold and things like that, but with the precious blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you can write that down and need another note for that. Again, back over in Ephesians chapter 7, let me pick up another point. What did he say? Someone read that again.
Verse 7, you're saying?
That's right.
Okay. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace.
So we have forgiveness. If I were to ask you this morning who has stood in need of being forgiven, whose hand would go up? Hopefully all of us would, right? We all need that. We all need to be thankful for that because we know that all of sin, there's not one that sins not and so forth. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and 1 John chapter 1. And from the Old to the New Testament, it's stated that man sins. We fall short. We go contrary to what God would have us to be doing. But in Christ, we have the forgiveness for our sins. Therefore, I can be forgiven, made possible by His blood, by being in Christ. We don't have the forgiveness for our sins when we're not in Christ. And so, say that again. Okay. If you're a Christian, you have to ask. That's a good point, Johnny. On the forgiveness of sins, out of Christ, how do you obtain the forgiveness of sins? Give that every week, right? You do that and you're saved when you hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's what the Bible teaches. I know a lot of religious people don't believe that, but that's what the Bible says. You confess your faith, by the way, when you become a Christian. Don't confess your sins. You repent of your sins. And you confess your faith in becoming a Christian. And then, as a child of God, once you're in Christ, what do you do again, John? You said you have to. Have to repent of those things and pray about that. And two passages talk about that. 1 John 1 and Acts 8. Simon the sorcerer, he obeyed the gospel. He was a Christian. By the way, was he a Christian?
Yes.
Yes. And then he did wrong. And he was told to do two things. Repent and pray. Repent. Of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And if we confess those things unto God, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And so, the religious world doesn't make that distinction many times. And they should. It's error to not make that distinction. They say, well, if you're a sinner, just believe and pray this prayer. And so forth. And a lot of people believe that. And any other thoughts about that before we move on?
Many people saw that to believe and that's where they spend their life. But when you study the scriptures, you see what brings you unto Christ, or what really what puts you into Christ.
That's right. And we're going to end with that point. That's significant. Well, thank you. I got a text earlier last week from a preacher a few counties away, and it ran across a tract which says, "It's simply up to you. Simply pray this prayer. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I now repent of my sins and ask you to come into my heart and save me in Jesus' name." Bible say that anywhere?
No.
It's always interesting to me that prayers like that, that people say sinner's prayer and so forth, is never followed by a book, chapter, and verse that substantiates that. They may give some other passages, but you'll not read one time in the New Testament where anyone became a Christian and praying to God. Anyone know of one?
They go to the two people in the temple, but they forget to think that there's two people in the temple, which suggests that they're both religious people.
That's a point. All right. So we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of our sins. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28, Jesus talked about the remission of sins. And what did he say in that passage was going to be done so that sins could be remitted? Shed his blood. Hadn't shed it yet, but he said this is the blood of the New Testament which is shed for many for in order to obtain the remission of sins. Romans 6, verses 3 through 4. A lot of passages you think about any of these points. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. He shed His blood in His death," John 19:34-35. "And it's when we are buried, baptized in the likeness of His death, that the blood of Christ washes away our sins. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father," now watch this, "even so we also should walk in newness of life." That is so simple, but yet so misunderstood among people that we've just been talking about in this Bible place about the new man, new creation. And he talks about newness of life. What stands between newness of life and the old man, according to that passage? Baptism. That's what he's discussing. It's when one is baptized, they can be in the light, it arise to walk in newness of life. Someone said, "Well, you can be the new man and you can walk in newness of life without ever having been baptized." Is that not what religious people teach today? We'll touch on a lot of those things, Lord willing, in our next quarter. It'll be several, but you need to know those passages, Romans 6, 1 through 6, and all of these that we're talking about. And so, in Christ, we're a new creature. In Christ, we have redemption. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of our sins. In Christ, John chapter 16 and in verse 33. We also have something else that we need to appreciate, we need to value. And a lot of people in the world are no doubt looking for, but they look to a lot of wrong places. John 16:33, what does that say? I wrote 16. Thank you, Paul.
"These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
John 16:33. Reminders of imperfection. I'll take it. Peace is in Christ. "In me ye shall have peace." Now the Lord made different statements concerning peace. He said, "Think not that I come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. But the context of that goes on to say, "For a man's foes or enemies shall be they of his own household." And so, a lot of times individuals are divided along lines of truth and error, whether they're a Christian or they're not. It transcends family. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're dealing with families or places of work, or it doesn't matter along those lines. Individuals are divided as to what they believe in, what they hold to. But the Lord says, "In me you shall have peace." Well, what's he talking about? In me. And he's talking to the disciples, and think about what came upon the apostles. With maybe, according to history, I don't know it to be the case, with maybe the exception of John. But all others did what? They died perhaps a martyr's death. With the exception of Judas, killed himself. But you think that he's saying, "In me you shall have peace," but
if he's talking about you have peace,
so we can have peace with our Father. That's what he came. That man can be in peace with his Father. Even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of trials and the difficulties that come upon us, we can have peace with God our Father, and that's what will take us to heaven when life is over. Being able to have peace is the peace that Paul wrote about over in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 verse 6 begin. "Be careful for nothing." That's a King James Version phrase. He's not talking about watch where you're walking. Don't watch. Some versions render that as what?
Anxious.
Yeah, as anxious. Don't be overly anxious. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." That's a peace that we need to obtain. We do that by being where?
In
Christ. The world, I think it's a sad thing to me that the world wants many times to be at peace. They want peace. They want what Christians have, but they just are being directed in so many different paths that simply will not lead to peace.
They want peace on their own terms. They don't want it on God's terms.
Good point. Good. Our time is swiftly going. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, in verse 4, someone will read that point.
Just that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God's people. And that is where?
In Christ.
Chose us in Christ. Now listen, sometimes folks talk about predestination from the standpoint, say, well, man is, and they'll use this passage, God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. They say, well, you're either part of the elect or the non-elect, or those predestined to go to heaven or those predestined to go to hell. And there's no way you can make any changes to that. What was predestined? Well, according to that passage, if you simply read that, gave no thought to it, what's predestined? Are we predestined in Christ? Now watch this. Read verse 6 and then say, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us," and who is the us?
Church.
Yeah, Paul's including himself. He's writing to the saints. "Made us the accepted in the beloved." In whom? That is in the beloved. That is in Christ. "We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of His sins, according to the riches of His grace." And again, verse 4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Well, if He says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world," were we chosen before the foundation of the world?
If you do what He tells you to do,
Well, the simple answer to that is yes. That's what he just said. But what was chosen before the foundation of the world was that all those who obey the gospel of Christ will go to heaven, as Johnny just pointed out. And what was stated before is if you fail to obey, heaven's not going to be your home.
It was the plan, not the
name. That's right. That's a good statement. And that was that's a good statement. That what was predestined was the plan and not the man. I want to jot that down. He already knew the plan by which he would reconcile man unto himself before the foundation of the world was laid. First Peter talks about that.
No.
That wasn't an afterthought. Go ahead, Doug.
So the flip side of that is he's predestined some people to go to hell before the beginning of time, basically. So do we have a creator type like that? Of course, the answer would be no.
Have you ever talked to someone who said, preacher, or who, if you're talking about, you're wasting your time. I'm predestined to be lost. How would you know? How would you know?
How everybody I talk to is predestined to be saved.
Yeah. Couple more points. Real quick. More you could add to this, but think about 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 10. We've got to do these last two pretty quickly, so... 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul writes about someone may obtain something.
Therefore, I endure all things for your sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
I know what is in Christ.
Salvation.
Can't be saved if you're not in Christ. If you're out of Christ, then there's no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we don't have time to cover that, but talks about you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Those who have no hope are those who are out of Christ. Salvation is in Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And when he says there's salvation in no other, who's he talking about? In Christ. That's why Jesus could rightfully say, as he did in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except or but or through me. There's no way we can go to the Father except through Christ. And so the only way we can be saved is to be where? In Christ. Last point. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Say, I'm not going to write that up there just for the sake of room. But in whom, in Christ, we've obtained an inheritance. Well, if you're going to understand this point and knowing that we've obtained an inheritance, you need to know what that inheritance is and where it's at. And come over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and the question's answered by the Bible. Someone read verse 4. Made possible by the resurrection of Christ. Verse 3, what was made possible? Verse 4.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Well, where's that inheritance at, Belvis?
Heaven.
In heaven. Reserved for us, if we'll be faithful unto Him. And so, where do we have that hope at?
In Christ.
In Christ. Now, here's the kicker to the whole thing. Many of you knew with anticipation that this was coming. Is the question, we're almost out of time, but we're going to finish, is how does one go from being out of Christ into Christ? Where is that answered at?
Galatians
3, 26 through 28. Let's read that nice and loud as we wrap up our study, wrap up our quarter. I'm interested in, preacher, you got me, that all these blessings are in Christ. Now, I'm not in Christ, someone says, and I want to know how to get into Christ. I'm ready. Well, let's read how we do that. Anybody? Galatians 3:26-28.
We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Good. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have walked into Christ, been baptized into Christ. You cannot miss that. I tell people, if you can see through a glass with a, or window with a glass busted out of it, you can see that. See how simple that is? So if I want to be in Christ, I've got to what? I've got to be baptized into Him. I appreciate your good attention. If you have any questions, you let me know that. I'll put some of these references, I'll put that in the bag and you can pick that up.